Hello, my friend, and welcome to this episode of A Call to Leadership. I'm Dr. Nate Solly, your host. I'm so glad you are here. Well, there's a concept that runs through some application of leadership that you're not going to find every day. You're not going to find it in the leadership YouTube shorts. You're probably not going to find it in most of the readings you find on how to be an effective leader, a strong leader, a leader who is decisive. And that is the concept, rarely associated with leadership, the concept of meekness. We're going to talk about that concept on this episode. We're going to dive into what meekness is and how meekness can actually be a game changer in how you can influence others to achieve a common cause. So that's where we need to start. Leadership is influence, but it's not only influence. It involves discovery. It involves achievement. It involves shared purpose, a common cause with a group of people. Now, you can be a leader of an individual or a group. At the same token, we often look at leaders as people who are strong and courageous and well-spoken. In fact, think about leaders in your own life who you have been attracted to, whether they be far off or whether they be close up. There are certain characteristics that we often associate with effective leaderships. But we rarely think about this concept as being an essential aspect of effective leadership. So what is meekness? Well, it's something that has been also misunderstood in even terms of the terminology of meekness. So meekness is really a sense of self-elimination. It's not necessarily humility, but it is a way that we reduce our own self-interest, act in patience, act in discernment, and don't have a strong sense of power in terms of how we are going to wield it at any moment. In fact, it's been said that meekness is simply power under control. I love the way Dr. Jordan Peterson puts it. He says, meekness is having our swords sheathed. What does it mean to have a sword sheathed? A sheath is a protective outer layer of a sword. In fact, I've got swords here in my office. And that sword is covered. In other words, it's not been wielded. And so the word picture then to exhibit meekness is to be someone who does not have to simply wield your sword and start chopping stuff up at any juncture. It's a level of focus and a level of discerning when it is appropriate, when it's not appropriate. It's a level of restraint. And we find that it's related in some ways to being emotionally intelligent, being able to be self-aware, being able to self-regulate. And if you haven't heard the episodes on emotional intelligence, I will put it in the show notes. Love for you to go back and listen, because there are certain aspects of having an emotional level of maturity that also comes along with meekness. Because if we have a lot of insecurity, it's tough to be meek. And I don't mean this in a sense, well, you know what, you could be insecure and then be meek. And I'm talking about in a position of power. When you are in a position of power and you have leadership, then meekness actually is an attractant to others. You say, Nate, I don't want to be around people who are too reserved in leadership and who get bulldozed. That's not meekness. Meekness is not getting bulldozed. That's a misconception. Meekness is not getting run over. Meekness is having power, but having it in the constraint, in the control of what? Of your mission. Do you know your mission? If you don't know your mission, then meekness is not going to help you, because you don't have control over when to wield it and when not to wield your sword, if you will. And what we're talking about, your sword, is your influence in a way. If you don't know your vision, if you don't know the greater destination, you won't know when it is appropriate to exhibit your power, your strength. If you don't know your values, if you don't know what's important, what are your non-negotiable principles, you won't be able to have a sense of when to wield it. But if you know those things, if you know them in your fiber of your being, and they are non-negotiable, then at times when your mission, your vision, and your values are not compromised, there's no reason to wield certain aspects of your power to exert the kind of influence that you're getting anyway. So that's one piece. Another piece is perhaps sometimes it's more important to be patient, to be long-suffering, as it's said, to wait it out than to try to force a situation. And it takes discipline. It takes discernment to do that. It takes a self-sense of confidence, and not arrogance, by the way. There's a big difference between arrogance and confidence. And if you've listened to the show, you might have heard me say this. Confidence is an assurance. I am assured that I don't have to wield this sword in all cases. The direction we're going in is a worthy one. I'm also assured that I don't have to get anyone's approval to feel good about myself. I don't have to listen to the winds that squawk and criticize. That doesn't mean that you don't take in information, you don't take in feedback, but it's not going to deter my sense of value. Do you believe in your own value? If you believe in your own value, then you can exhibit more meekness. If you don't believe in your own value, you might exert more power in situations that perhaps don't warrant that necessity. And that's where discernment comes in. And so the meek person is a person who understands those pieces, who is able to walk in this secure confidence that is patient and discerning. But at the same time, your patience doesn't mean that you have paralysis analysis. Your patience doesn't mean that you don't take action, that you don't execute when necessary. In fact, as a leader, you cannot sit and wait by the sideline for something to happen. You have to be an instrument of change, because if we don't need change, we don't need leaders. Leadership hinges on change. What kind of change, though? Not any change. A change that leads to a better future state. Progress. That's the heart of leadership. So line up your meekness, not with weakness, but with the power that's under the control of you moving yourself and your followers, those who share a greater purpose, a worthy cause, to progress the human condition, to progress together, to progress and grow and be healthy and heal. That is the heart of meekness. Now, what's an example of this? Well, you know, meekness reveals itself often when we are leaders in different scenarios. As a leader in a business, I know that sometimes I have the central role in identifying challenges, looking for opportunities, and helping the team to execute. Sometimes that's not me. And sometimes I have to be patient and step back and allow my team to help with that decision making. If there are individuals on my team, and I hope there are on yours, who can solve problems that you didn't know you had, then we elevate those individuals, right? Those individuals then are the ones who are in power and in control. And that's okay. In fact, I just had a conversation with one of my team members yesterday. And I said, one of the things that makes me most joyous, happiest in our business environment is when someone takes a challenge that I didn't even know we had and works toward finding a solution and presents it to their manager or someone in the organization who's responsible for them on their team and works toward being proactive in solving a problem. That's an aspect of meekness. My power is under control because I don't need to exert it. You're going to exert your power, your strength to solve a problem. And I want to empower you to do that, right? And I want to be secure in that. Look, I want you to know that I brought you into this organization. I invited you to join us on this worthy journey because the kind of work you can do it better than me. And that's what I want. I want people in my organization who can do work better than I can do in that specific area. You say, well, Nate, what if you are the subject matter expert? You are the number one person in the organization that can get this done. I understand that there's technical expertise. I work in professional services. There's certain aspects of the work I do that I am the subject matter expert in my organization, whether you're a doctor, you're an attorney, especially in professional services, an accountant, an engineer. Oftentimes, the person who is the owner of the company or one of the members of the partnership team are the experts in that specific space. But you may not be an expert in every space, and I doubt that you are. So allow the people who are an expert in their space that you put them in to do their best possible work. And if they're a part of your team and they answer to you, say, for example, it's a paralegal. And so you say, well, you know what? I can do research just as well as my paralegal can. But no, you can't. Because if you do, that actually dilutes the abilities you have in perhaps litigation and other aspects of the business. So you take away from the strengths that you have. So you have to release those. And the meekness is the patience sometimes, another way, is allowing your team members to, and I want to say this very delicately, fail forward in such a way, just as you did, so that they can learn and grow. Perhaps someone isn't at your level, but you want them to be at your level. So how do you get them to your level? They have to practice. How did you get to your level, right? Time in the saddle, as we say in cycling. In fact, when I was in cycling years ago, and I did all the triathlons, I would ride with a bunch of guys, and they would ride faster than me, and they would be just zooming past me. And I would stop and ask these guys, hey, how do I get better? How do I get to your level? And they would say, Nate, you know, a lot of it is just time in the saddle. In other words, riding, which is practice. And through that, I got faster. That's how we get better. So sometimes our own meekness as a leader, our own patience and release of the self-interest for the collective interest allows someone to practice and give them the room, give them the runway. Now, make sure that it's done judiciously so that it does not negatively impact the experience of the collective, experience of all the stakeholders. So you can do what Jim Collins says and fire bullets before cannonballs. And what does that mean? That means incremental growth. You can help people to grow and make small mistakes that they can learn to eliminate before you go prime time. All right? That's just like on a sporting team, right? What do you do in, you know, spring training? You're warming up those muscles. You're working out those mistakes so that you can make less of them when it's prime time. You can make less of them when it's game time, when it's the regular season. So I say all that to say this. If you want to be an effective leader, learn to exercise some level of meekness, power under control, your sword sheathed so that you wield it only when necessary, but you wield it when you must, so that you can affect the kind of change that leads everyone on your team, every stakeholder you have, to progress. This also affects a family. In a family, I'm a father, I'm a husband. And sometimes my son will say, Dad, you know, you need to exert more force in this family. And I'll say, you know, son, I don't have to. We can move forward together without me wielding my sword at all times, flailing it around like a madman. No, have meekness, have discernment, have a sense of quiet confidence that is metered and measured and has massive amounts of maturity and vision and focus and foresight to understand when and how to become a person that uses that strength, uses that force when it benefits the good of the collective, the good of the group, the good of the family, and only when you need it. Quiet confidence, meekness. It's a behavior, it's a way of living, it's a habit to form in leadership, a tool in your arsenal that many people never even think of incorporating. It will garner you respect, believe it or not. It will garner you adoration, not that you're seeking that, but you know what the most important thing it will garner you is that you can serve others in achieving a worthy cause that's beyond yourself. Well, my friend, we did it. I'm so honored you were able to join me on this episode of A Call to Leadership. Now, this might not be for everyone because you really have to be in a certain place in order to take the kind of steps to level up your leadership. And I want you to be taking steps. And for those of you who feel like you're ready for something like this, there's a place you can go. You can go to our website, greatsummit.com. I'll make sure that's in the show notes. But here's the cool thing that we have. We've got a masterclass. We have all different kinds of events. We even have our leadership club where you can meet other people just like you to go deeper in your leadership journey. You and I will get to spend some time together and really focus on aiming for greatness. I can't wait to see you there. I'm Dr. Nate Salla, and this is A Call to Leadership.